Shavuos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Yud Gimel, 4:13. It's the last of the Perek, and we're wrapping up the topic here of Shavuos HaEdus. The Mishnah has a number of things to say. The first is going to explore exactly what turn of phrase must be used in order to kick in the obligation for Shavuos HaEdus. We have said many times that if a person says Mashbiya Ani Aleichem, I adjure you, I cause you to swear that you'll testify for me tomorrow. If the person says Amen, then potentially he's liable, right? But the Mishnah's point here is that you don't have to say mashbia, that I cause you to swear. That's not necessarily the case. Kind of the same way in English, we have the verb is to swear, but then the noun is an oath. So kind of similarly, a person doesn't need to use the word swear to me or I cause you to swear. As long as the person invokes the term shvua, like an oath, that will be sufficient. So for example, if a person says, mitzava ani aleichem, I command you b'shvua shete aduni, with the force of an oath, that you should testify for me tomorrow. If the person says amen to that, even though the plaintiff didn't say mashbia, I put you under oath, he just said, I command you with the power of an oath, or something like that, I don't cause you to swear, but he says it's for the fact of an oath, so then again, that would be binding enough to be obligated to shvuos edus. And same goes if a person says, oserchem ani, I bind you with the power of an oath, b'shvuos shete aduni, that with the power of an oath that you will testify on my behalf. So if a person says amen to that, again, he's potentially liable for shvuos ha'edus. In all those cases, says the Mishnah, hare elu chayavin, in all those cases, the person would be potentially liable for shvuos ha'edus. Now, throughout the entire perek, I've been explaining these Mishnayos, how the Bar Tanura learns it, which is that if one invokes the term shvua to an oath, to swear, so then it's implicit automatically that you're swearing in the name of Hashem. Like, who else? What a Jew swears, if he says I swear, as opposed to just saying it as a matter of fact, what changes by saying I swear? The point is I'm invoking like my commitment to Hashem my witness, and so on. It's a person's connecting his belief in Hashem to his belief in the statement being true. So no need to mention Hashem explicitly. That's the Bar Tanura learns, and that'll be true how I've explained the Mishnayos. However, note that Rashi learns differently. Rashi learns that you need to specifically invoke Hashem in some way when you're taking the Shavua. So a person would always be saying, like, you know, the word, like, in the name of God at the end of it. So a person would say, Mashpia ani aleichem, I adjure you, I put you under oath, that you'll testify tomorrow for me in the name of Hashem, right? In the name of the Merciful One, in the name of God. And then that would be binding. But no reference explicitly to Hashem would not make for the Shavua, which one would be liable for the Olav Yored. And really, Rashi learns that's true both for Shavuos HaEdus as well as Shavuos Bitui in general. The Rambam similarly says that for Shavuos Bitui to be binding, not just binding, but actually liable for the korban or lashes for Shavuos Bitui, and the kind of the same would be for Shavuos HaEdus, you need to invoke one of Hashem's either names or a kinui, a nickname of Hashem. So more on that in a moment. But that's divergence up to now. Now we're going to see in the next part of the Mishnah why that's relevant here. So, the Mishnah says if a person takes a shvua and he says, the plaintiff puts the would-be witnesses under shvua and they say, Mashpi ani aleichem, I put you under oath, b'shamayim of arts, in the name of heaven and earth. Or if a person says, I swear in the name of heaven and earth that I'll testify for you. In both those cases, hare elu paturin, so then the person who took the would-be oath is not even liable to shvuos ha'edus, because one isn't bound by a shvua that's made to heaven and earth, and has to be to Hashem. So according to Rashi, it has to be explicitly to Hashem, and according to Bar Tanura, it has to be just implicit. Shvua is assumed to be Hashem, but once you are explicit and say it's to Shemayim Va'aretz, then it's not to Hashem anymore. Now, says the Mishnah further, Ba'alef Dalet, if one invokes the Shem Adnus of Hashem, Alef Dalet the Nun Yud, or if a person says B'Yud He, meaning the Yud and then a He and then above and then a He name, or he says it B'Shakai, uses that name of Hashem, or Tzvakot, that name of Hashem, those are all names of Hashem that are called, those are from the list of names that are Shemos Shem Mechakos, that can't be erased, these indelible names, and there are seven of them. Or you also have what are called the kinuyim, names that aren't Hashem's indelible names. They aren't forbidden midoraisa to erase or something, but they clearly refer to Hashem. Like, for example, Bechanun or Verachum, a person refers to the Chanun, the gracious one, capital G, or the Rachum, the merciful one, the capital M, since the Torah only refers to Hashem in terms of being the Chanun or the Rachum, or the Erech Apayim or the Rav Chesed. All of these names, clearly only Hashem is the Rav Chesed, and therefore if a person says, I'm swearing in the name of the Rav Chesed, the whatever, so then, or the Erech Apayim, etc., those will also be binding, even if a person doesn't say the word swear at all. So if a person just says, yes, in the name of God, I will do it tomorrow. That would also be binding, because you're explicitly invoking Hashem's name, even though no word of Shavuah whatsoever. B'chola kinuyim, the same applies for any nickname. Hare elu chayavin, if one made such a commitment to the name of Hashem without mentioning Shavuah at all, he says, yes, you know, by God, by Hashem, by the Chanun, tomorrow I'll testify on your behalf. That's a Shavuah, binding that he would be liable for Shavuah's Eidus if he doesn't, in fact, carry through when he denies tomorrow in the court. Now, again, so Rashi learns that this is referring to something that even with the word Shavuah, you have to say Shavuah and then tie in one of the Kinuim or Shemos of Hashem. And according to Bartanura, no, you don't. It's either or. Either Shavuah or a Shem of Hashem. Okay. Now, since we're talking about Shemos of Hashem and the consequences of invoking them for oaths, so now the Mishnah has a parenthetical point, a couple of parenthetical points. So the parentheses open here, if you will, and they say, listen, HaMekalel, if one curses Hashem, so, if you recall, we learned elsewhere, and it will be l'halacha, like the Chachamim, that one is not liable, this is something we saw this in the Sanhedrin, in Perek Zion, if you remember. So, one won't be liable for the penalty of skila for cursing Hashem, l'halacha, unless he curses the shame Hashem itself, the Yud Kei Vav Kei name. Now, in every curse, there's sort of like a subject and object. Who's doing the cursing and who's receiving the curse? So, lahalacha, like the chachamim, the recipient of the curse has to be the shem yud ke vav ke, based on the pasuk, okay? Because the pasuk specifies that. I'll read the pasuk in a moment. But anyways, and the subject, the person doing the cursing, has to be like Hashem, but it could be any of those names, including like the kinuyim. That's the halacha. But we're going to have Reb Meir Shita here, which is that if you're referring to Hashem and you say Hashem as the subject, and then you say Hashem as the recipient, whatever of the names of Hashem you use even as the recipient or as the even a kinoi, so it's clear you're talking about cursing Hashem, so therefore there will be a penalty of, the worst case penalty would even be skila. So that's the Mishnah saying here. It says, HaMakal B'kulan, if one curses any of those names of Hashem, including the kinoiim, then chayev, then he's potentially liable for skila, for execution, by stoning, divrei of Meir. But the chacham poach and the chacham say, no, you have to be cursing specifically the shem yudke vavke, because the pasuk there says, v'nokev shem Hashem most yumas, one who, I'll call it like, curses the name of Hashem, yudke vavke, he's the one who's put to death. So Chazal understand it's specifically only yudke vavke, not the other ones. Whereas Reb Meir learns that really from the previous pasuk that you can have any of the names that refer to Hashem being the recipient. Okay, halacha is like the chachamim on that point. But now further says the Mishnah, hamekal atzmo, if one curses himself, saying the subject is the doing the cursing as any of the shemos of Hashem or the kinuim, and the recipient is of the curse is himself cursing himself, or v'chavera, or he curses his fellow Jew. Bakulan with any of the names or the kinuyim, then over below sase, that's a iser doraisa, but it would not be carrying with the penalty of anything worse than that. So those are based on psukim. The pasuk to not curse yourself is because it says, Hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha ma'od, be careful and protect yourself, and that's the source for like taking care of your health in general, and your well-being, and certainly. You can't, if you curse yourself, you're causing yourself potentially bad things, and therefore you can't curse yourself under penalty of a lav, because when it says hishamer, it's the same as pen and the al. Those are considered expressions of mitzvahs lo sase. As far as another Jew, there's also a law from the Torah that one may not curse another Jew, because the pasuk says lo sekalel cheresh, one may not curse the deaf person. And the point is, a deaf person doesn't know and doesn't care if someone curses him. So the more so a person who does here and therefore would care, you can't curse them. And if you do, then you're over the lav. Okay. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is that if a person invokes a curse at his would-be witnesses, and he says something like, Yekacha Elokim, like God should strike you down if you don't testify on my behalf. And the guy says, Amen. Or he reads the parsha from the Torah with a klalos, and then he says, V'chein Yekacha Elokim, and Saltu should Hashem strike you down, Mr. Witness, right, if you don't testify on my behalf. So since the pasuk, if you recall, said, V'shama kol Allah, here's the expression of Allah. Now, Allah can be referred to as a curse, not just a cause for oath, but a curse in general. So the says the Mishnah here, Zuhi Allah haksuva b'Torah. That is the curse that's referenced in the Torah itself, and the Torah chooses the expression of kol Allah. So it referred to actually hearing a curse, and therefore if a person is essentially put facing that kind of curse, if you will, by the Toveya, by the plaintiff, and says, testify for me or else you'll be cursed by Hashem. The guy agrees to that, says, okay, amen. So then he is bound by it and potentially shvus the edus. What about what's called technically called the contrapositive? What if a person says, al yakcha Hashem im ta'id li? Hashem shouldn't curse you if you testify for me, if you do testify for me. Or a person says, yivarecha, God should bless you if you testify on my behalf. So that sounds like if a person says that kind of thing, or v'yitev lach, Hashem should do good by you if you testify for me. So the question is, do we infer what's called a contrapositive? Do we say, listen, the plaintiff said, you'll be blessed if you testify for me, and the person says, amen. Do we understand that the implication that if you'll be not blessed, you'll be cursed if you don't testify for me? Therefore, a person's accepting to be accepting to like this curse of the pasuk. So Reb Meir says mechai. Reb Meir says yes, we do what's called we impute that. It's called mechlal lav. Excuse me, mechlal lav ata shemeya hein. From the negative, you can infer the positive, like I described before. But the chacham and poch and the chacham say no. You can't say you'll be blessed if you do testify. That doesn't necessarily mean that if you're accepting the curse of if you don't testify. Meaning, since you didn't express the word shvua, you didn't use Shem Hashem, all you did is talk about a blessing for yes, doing the right thing, that would not cross the line, that would not constitute like the curse of the pasuk of kol Allah that you accept upon yourself if you don't testify. And Allah, of course, would be like the chachamim, that that's not good enough.